Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Yeah. And I mean, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, there's a tweet out right now. Just saw it on social media during the break. It's showing a video. Oh my gosh, this video. The hordes of illegals that are sitting parked at Eagle Pass, Texas right now. Just sitting there. I'm talking, it looks like thousands that are just sitting there. One report I heard was over 10,000, with another 4,000 being brought in from another location. And U.S. Border Agency says they're calling this the, quote, worst day we've ever seen in terms of illegal border crossings today. That's today. So, we'll talk about that here in a little bit on the show. So, number one, triple dipper, old dogs, old tricks. I said before the break, politics is cyclical, all right? It comes around. It's whatever cycles one way is going to cycle back around again later on. So, this is nothing new. This conversation that we're having is nothing new. I mean, as we sit here and me greatly frustrated, here I am in my 50s, but I'm still looking with frustration at the idea that people have been hanging on to their positions like their claws are sunk in and you can't drag them off of it. Mitch McConnell. I mean, good Lord, Mitch, go to the House. Or Nancy Pelosi. Or Joe Biden. I mean, we've got Republicans and Democrats. And it's not an age factor. It's two things. One, I think it's a respect for the fact that others might be able to do the job. There's that. They have grown to consider themselves indispensable to the process. That's a problem. That's a pridefulness.
Well, I just don't know that somebody else could come along and get as much done as I can because I've got the institutional knowledge and I can make things happen.
By the way, that's my Mitch McConnell impression. Which I don't want to brag. It's pretty spot on.
I thought it was pretty good.
So, but the same is true for Nancy Pelosi. I mean, what is she, 83 now? And she's going to run for re-election. Why? Because nobody else can do it? I mean, you've enriched yourself over time, Nancy. And go enjoy it, all right? Go buy a beach house and just sit. Some of them, though, here's the other thing. Aside from it being a pridefulness, like no one else can do my job. No one else is out there who can do my job. I can raise more money than other people. I can help pass legislation. I know how the system works. Well, the other piece of this is several of them, it's just, I think it's become their identity. They would not know what to do with themselves were they not an elected official. And the day they became an unelected official is a day when they sit around and they stare at the walls and they begin to crumble because their entire facade, their entire persona was wrapped up in being an elected official. And that's sad, to be honest with you. It really is. I saw folks like that in Montgomery. I was there for 8 years, and I'll be honest with you, it's a heady experience to be in the halls of government sometimes. It really is. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and there are other days when I told myself I was enjoying it a little too much. But I still enjoyed it. At the same time, I did all that I could to stay grounded before the Lord and just be reminded over and over again that this is not my seat. It's the people's seat. And I think there are those in office that have lost sight of that fact. And they are determined that if they don't get to do it, that must mean nobody else out there can. All right, that being said, this is also not a new discussion. I've got in my coffee cup holding hands a little bit of maple bacon donut still in my fingers. An article from Time Magazine in May of 1957. Yes, this show can do the resource, and let me just tell you, But this one was called The Conservative Future, The Republican Split. Is it deep and real? But Ike can still repair it. It was the Eisenhower era. So here's the thing. There were, at that point, factions within the Republican Party. Sound familiar? There were, at that point, factions. They called themselves Goldwater Republicans or Eisenhower Republicans. It was like Trump, no Trump, all right? It was like Freedom Caucus versus Old Guard. It was like moderates versus, you know, anyway, the bottom line is you get my drift. There are always factions within the team, always have been. But the arguments back then were the same ones that I just recounted to you a moment ago. And this, here's the lead off to the article. It says, the Old Guard has worked out mostly under the guidance of Arizona's Senator Barry Goldwater, a case against Ike based on a highly selective list of statistics. Since 1952, that case says, Republican membership in the House has dropped from 221 to 201, in the Senate from 49 to 47. By the way, that's the exact same Senate numbers we have now, if I'm not mistaken. And we are down 49 to 47, if I'm not mistaken. But then I also look at the narrow margins that were in the House at that particular moment. There they were. 221 to 201 means that the balance was roughly around where it is now. Slightly different. Republicans currently have a slim majority. But here's the thing. The Old Guard was mad at the New Guard at that point. Did you catch that? That was the Goldwater Republican saying, Ike, you've gone moderate. You've forgotten what you ran on. You got into office and you forgot who you were. And their argument was, we've got to get back to the things that work. We've got to get back to what the... Nowadays, it's just the opposite. Now we have the Old Guard that has gotten squishy in today's age, 2023. The McConnells, the Romneys, the Ronald McDaniel running the party, they've gotten to the point that they have become the squishy ones. And the other side of the party is the New Guard, the Freedom Caucus. Members of the more conservative bent, the freshman senators like J.D. Vance who are coming in and making waves. Why? Because this is a cyclical thing. It happens. And it was happening in 1957, y'all. And I'm just going to be honest with you, it's going to happen again 50 years from now. The Old Guard conclusion, the article said, was that Ike won despite his modern republicanism, not because of it. And the future of the Republican Party lies in what they call the Old Guard brand of conservatism. Goldwater said, I'm convinced that the American mind is a conservative mind. I agree with that. He says, the working man is the new capitalist. Conservatives are going to win the next election, and the group which wins the 1958 elections will control the 1960 elections. You hear this? Factions within the party. Old Guard, New Guard. The Eisenhower Republicans, they state their case against the Old Guard in shorter and simpler terms. They believe that social legislation of the New Deal is, in fact, part of U.S. history and that Social Security is basic to the national fabric. So the Eisenhower Republicans were the squishy ones. They were the ones who believed in big government being an end to a means, or a means to an end. And here we are. How many years later? What do the math. Where are we? 57. I don't know. What are we at? 70-something years later? That by the way, that was quick math off the cuff with only one cup of coffee. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is this. Old Guard, New Guard, it ain't new. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Now, fast forward. How about this article from the American Conservative in March of 2021? The fall of the Republican Old Guard. I'm just seeing the same articles rehashed. It points out the fact that Rob Portman of Ohio, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, and Roy Blunt of Missouri were all retiring. And those were all senior members of the Republican caucus. And this article saying, which leaves Minority Leader Mitch McConnell further isolated. Again, Mitch, why are you still there? It says these fresh departures, they portend high-wattage duels in three states critical to the coalitions of former President Barack Obama and former President Donald Trump. But from California to the Midwest to Virginia, there's a budding new generation of Republicans that see things much differently. They're buoyed by Trump's stunning record performance with minorities in 2020, his immigration policies, and a presidential term that, even though it was marred by controversy, this is not quite a conservative article, that it still worked. So here's my point. And I'm going to get into some numbers here in a minute. The bottom line is this. Old guard, new guard. It ain't nothing new. The question is, where do we fall in it? And I would say right now, conservatives, the conservative view, the truly conservative positions on policy and the conservative views on where our country should go, the conservative view at this particular moment is not vested in the old guard. Whereas in 1957, the old guard was the one saying, we got to be conservative again. Now it's the new guard saying, hey, Mitch, could we be what we say we are, please? Could we please pass some legislation? Could we please take action against the Biden administration? Could we please stop letting things happen? Could we please stop the spending sprees? Could we stand up against, you know, transgenders in women's sports?
Well, I never promised you a midterm, you know, Republican wave.
Yeah, well, you don't promise much of anything because it's safer that way. All right, listen, well, I'm going to give you more of this when we get back, but this is a discussion that has to happen because what I'm wondering is where do we stand? Where are you right now? Do you feel like Mitch McConnell just needs to just hang on for another 4 years? Do you feel like we're in a better position having seniority in place? Or do you feel like we're in a better place by letting the next generation grab hold of the reins? I'd love your thoughts on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. And I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. I got a few text messages here. Let me grab a couple of them. Ed P. from Huntsville. Ed P. says, Charles de Gaulle once said the graveyards are full of indispensable people. I need to put that on a T-shirt. I actually have a notebook where I save quotes that I find to be striking or significant, and I may be writing that one down. Raven from Russellville says, Colonel Williams, the old guard is nothing more than liberalism light. Time for the real conservatives to stand up and make noise. Opinion stated. Respectful salute rendered. Thank you, Raven. Appreciate you. Gary from Decatur says, if the present system that fosters this kind of ridiculous unlimited terms in Congress, look at Dianne Feinstein. They let her continue on in office, being almost completely incapacitated, not being able to make her own medical decisions. That's how crazy it is now. I agree. By the way, people don't realize, in Montgomery, we had I'll go ahead and say her name, Priscilla Dunn. So State Senator Priscilla Dunn, she was not in Montgomery for 2 years. She did not even come to the state house for, I think, 2 years. Why? Because she had, and by the way, It was painfully obvious that she was not the sharpest knife in the drawer when we were, you know, when she was still there. And she would say things, and you actually watch some of her Democrat colleagues have to kind of say it like this. And they would help her along, kind of like what you see with Biden trying to find his way off stage now. It got so bad, though, that her family just didn't even send her back to Montgomery. They just kept her at home. And yet she never resigned from office. And since she was an elected official, you can't force the resignation unless there's a criminal, you know, allegation or something, or a criminal, conviction. Thank you. All that to say, the people of her district were not represented for at least 2 years.
Yep.
Or really more, if you get down to it. But because there's no term limits and because there's no capacity question in the law, her family got to continue receiving her paycheck, I guess.
Yeah, I think this dipper could quickly go into a term limit discussion.
Whoop, whoop, bring it. Here's a piece for you, though, before I switch over to Democrats, as we're talking about Mitch McConnell. Story from Red State, Dateline yesterday. A new Monmouth poll came out showing that President Biden has dropped to his lowest approval rating ever, earning a meager 34%, but voters are even more unhappy with another politician, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who received an exceptionally low 6% approval rating. 6%, dude. I think Hitler could poll higher than that. I'm just saying.
Probably.
I am pretty sure Genghis Khan could sweep through and start beheading people and putting heads on pikes and have a higher approval rating than Mitch McConnell right now.
Yeah, especially if you had a good social media campaign.
Well, there's that, because you can do anything with social media. Yeah, the U.S. Senate Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell earned the lowest overall rating, 6%, and is the only leader to receive a net negative score from his fellow partisans. Wow. The public's negative view of McConnell was the lowest in the poll, but folks don't seem to be too happy with many other members of the House or Senate either. Only 21% approve of Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. So basically, Mitch McConnell should just go ahead and hang his head and leave the room, is what I'm reading here, because he's got lower scoring right now than Joe Biden or Chuck Schumer. That is just, that's awful. That's contagious. That is just like some kind of disease-ridden individual right there.
But Phil, it's more about how you feel. It's less about the numbers and the polls. Things are okay. Things are doing good. They're on their way up. They're great.
No, it's just the opposite of the article yesterday. Remember, they said read the facts. Don't go with your feelings. Kevin McCarthy had a job approval rating of 23% when he was taken out of the speakership. You got Mitch McConnell, who is, by the way, up for re-election in 2026, even though he's 81 now. So 3 years from now, he'll be 84. And the question is whether he'll run for re-election or not. Unbelievable. 6% approval rating. And by the way, that Monmouth poll, that's a real poll. That's not some kind of little push poll run by a neighborhood group. No, that's a real poll. And then I will say this. It's very interesting to me. There are those who are calling for a change in the old guard, who doesn't seem that old, but she comes from the old guard. And that's Ronna McDaniel, who is the head of the RNC, the Republican National Committee. Steve Bannon just recently called for her removal and replace her with Donald Trump Jr. I doubt if that'll happen, just to be honest. Although, I think he can run an organization better than her. It's interesting to see what's going to happen. But the old guard in the presidential side of things, it's got its issues. It's got its issues. The Democrats are not much better. Story here from Breitbart, Dateline yesterday. 54% of Democrat voters want to replace Joe Biden. If you're the incumbent during your election cycle, so two things here. One is you're the incumbent. You have the power of the incumbency. That means something. Secondly, you're in the middle of your election cycle, which means you've got millions and millions of dollars pumping out a positive image of you so that people can see it over and over again. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's the best. You need to vote for him. And it ain't working. His polls are dropping by the day. 54% of Democrat voters, by the way, that's their guy. That's their guy. And they don't like him. 54% of Democrat primary voters prefer an alternative to Biden. Only 43% want to keep him. The polling showed a slight uptick in negative sentiment against the president. In October, he had 53%. It gets worse and worse. Back in March, it was 52. So what this is telling us is that since he started his campaign, since he announced his run for re-election, it's gotten worse. It says if Trump wasn't running, I just lost my train of thought there. He also, by the way, has been equivocating, and people know it. He's been saying things like, "If Trump wasn't running, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably be running. I can't let him win." Morning Consult poll: Trump leads Biden in 6 out of 7 states. NBC News: Trump leads Biden by 2 points. Fox News: Trump trounces Biden by 4 points. This is the old guard getting told, "We are so tired of you. Could you please go to the House? What is your exit strategy? And it cannot be the end of another term." When the mass, those are his voters. Those aren't Republicans. Those are Democrats saying that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. A little bit more on this, and then we'll switch gears. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
right side ruffians out there.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to our numero dos. So here we are, Taco Tuesday, it is hour number two already. So I'm finishing up this topic, old guard, old tricks. Several text messages. Let me grab them real quick. Alice from Huntsville says, maybe Kentucky will take care of old Mitch for all of us in the next election. That would be something, except that we got till 2024. Is that when he's up again? Hang on a second. I just saw it a minute ago. I forgot. We got a little time left on him is what I'm saying. But I hope so. Why would they not? Raven from Russellville again says, maybe elected officials stay so long because they don't want to go home and live under the laws they passed.
I had to look it up, President Biden, I believe 1972 was when he was elected to Senate for the first time. So last year, 50 years
with very few breaks. Like, there were no breaks until between being a vice president and being president.
Like, if you ain't got it done in 50 years.
He's been redoing it. He's been redoing himself. The old boy has, I love when they pull up videos of him saying one thing in the past and then saying a different thing now. 50 years.
What new thought can you bring? Like, there are just so many fundamental problems with that. I mean, just the basics of humanity. So you've got the same group of people trying to solve the same problem in some different way.
This is what monarchies do.
It's ridiculous.
This is what happens in North Korea, where it's passed from father to son.
You know what else monarchies do? Kill each other off.
Oh. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee says, if Genghis Khan was to come back and start beheading the right people, he can get 100% approval. Just saying.
Wait, I'm pretty sure we need a legal disclaimer after.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, no references made that the quality of legal services provided. Here's one more for you, by the way. There's an article that I found from a source called precinctreporter.com. It was written in December of last year, so it's exactly a year old. And it was about Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries, by the way, that dude has some dead eyes. I mean, if you ever look at him giving a speech, you're like looking into the hollow core of nothingness. I mean, that's just, anyway, Hakeem Jeffries, this is a glowing diatribe about how wonderful it is to have him there. But it's because he's the new guard. So this piece says, New York Representative Hakeem Jeffries is probably precisely what Democrats need in America's brutal political civil war, where most Republicans behave as if it's North versus South again. See, this is the way they talk. This is the way liberals talk. I could read all of it to you. By the way, we're not allowed to say this, but the next line of the article is, for starters, Jeffries is unapologetically black. I don't know of any black people that are apologetically black, but they do want us to apologize for being white. I've noticed that lately. Your white fragility, your privilege. You need to take the perp walk with your whiteness. Anyway, during his campaign, he often wore tracksuits. When he presented arguments for the former President Donald Trump's impeachment, Jeffries punctuated his remarks by quoting none other than late hip-hop icon, the notorious B.I.G., saying, and if you don't know now, you know. Whatever that means, in a quintessential mic drop moment, it says. But most importantly, Jeffries' ascension into leadership role as vets like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Whip James Clyburn step aside signals a much needing change of the guard in the Democrat side. Most pointedly, Washington insiders and many outsiders have argued that it's time for the younger generations of leaders to take the helm. Both Pelosi and Clyburn are 82. Along with Jeffries, who's 52, taking over for Pelosi, Representative Catherine Clark is 59. She's poised to take over as the whip. At the same time, Representative Pete Aguilar is 43 of California. He's the Democratic conference chair. As one journalist pointed out, it's the oldest members of the incoming Democratic leadership team that are nearly a quarter century younger than the youngest members of the current Democrat leadership team. Let that sink in. I'm going to say it again. You ready? The oldest member of the incoming Democrat leadership team is nearly a quarter century younger than the youngest member of the current Democrat leadership team. That's a pretty epic statement when you think about it. It just clearly indicates that there are those who have been clinging to their roles without any regard for whether or not somebody else could do the job. Who was that that said that? Charles de Gaulle, that quote earlier, that the graveyards are filled with indispensable people? What an epic quote, man. What an epic, epic quote.
I wonder, I'm curious how many, like Pelosi, does she even know how to check her email?
I'm sure she knows how to hide her emails. They're good at that, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, I guess she's got somebody that can do that, you know.
Hillary Clinton taught that lesson, just destroy it with a hammer.
Do you think she tells her staff, like, hey, go fax this? Like,
probably.
Sorry, making tech jokes here, but it's kind of crazy.
Are you dying to tell her to reboot? That's the thing y'all always say, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, come
sir,
on,
sir. Have you rebooted? Anyway,
my point is the speed of the world. You know, is she? I don't know. That's just crazy.
But see, here's the thing. She can be technically savvy, and that doesn't make a bit of difference as to whether or not it's time for her to step aside. I mean, at some point, the reality sets in that. And now somebody might say, Phil, you could say this about Trump. Trump has spent 4 years in public office total. Yeah. Is he, say, 70? He's 78, Phil. I know. I'm talking about longevity in the position, clinging to the positions of governance so that no one else can have an opportunity to lead. When you do that, all you do is you lock down the capacity of the next generation to lead and direct and to take us to places that we might. And oh, by the way, if we don't like Ocasio-Cortez, we'll make sure we let everybody know it. But that's what politics is supposed to be for.
So if you look at it as a business, 50 years, Joe Biden comes in, works his way on up, and now he's the CEO of the company, and he's how many trillion dollars in debt?
Yeah.
How many trillion dollars in debt? Like, what other business model do you go, hey, yeah, we should reward this guy?
The only place in the world where you can fail up is government. I mean, it's not a meritocracy. It's a popularity contest interspersed with long periods of just, you know, mundane behavior.
It's just frustrating.
It's absolutely frustrating. But, you know, it's also where we are. And so the question becomes, old guard, old tricks? Is that where we are? If you're looking at, I love the idea of the person who's been there for 47 years to be there for another term, I question that. Then that probably means that in some way they've gotten you something that you personally want, but they're not necessarily doing it as a statesman. I don't see many that are statesmen that have been in that long. Well, don't you tear down the image of, you know, the vaunted leaders like, you know, Richard Shelby, who we've named buildings after, and Dianne Feinstein, who we wheeled in and told her how to vote, and, you know, Nancy Pelosi, who is 80, you know, 17 and a half years old. It just, listen, the bottom line is this. At some point, the old guard has to step aside. And at some point, if they've been there that long and they can't get the job done, then it is time for a new leadership. And, oh, by the way, the idea that we can't dethrone them is also wrongheaded. So let's stop. Both parties right now are filled up with old guard that are just absolutely clinging to their positions, not because it's the right thing to do, but because they don't believe anybody else can do it. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back from this one, jump into Dipper number two. Coming up bottom of the hour, State Representative Philip Insler calling in, and we're going to get his perspective on the incidents that occurred recently with bomb threats in synagogues right here in Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.